Schools across the country are back in session, with some reporting outbreaks of COVID-19 that have forced them to temporarily shut down. We asked two teachers to tell us about their experiences in the classroom during a pandemic, starting with Sydney Jensen, a ninth grade English teacher at Lincoln High School in Lincoln, Nebraska. Sydney, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. And did I see you're also the 2019 Teacher of the Year in Nebraska?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so we have an all-star on our hand. Congratulations.
I don't know about that, but thank you.
Yeah, sure. And then we've also got Dan Cranford, no slouch, a special education teacher at the Eastern North Carolina School for the Deaf in Wilson, North Carolina. Dan, welcome to you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure, Peter. And Sydney, congratulations on Teacher of the Year.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All righty. Well, I want to give you each a chance to tell me how you're doing, because this school year is one like no other. How's it going? Sydney, start with you.
To be honest, not awesome. This has definitely been the hardest year of teaching that I've ever experienced. This is, I think, year 8 for me in the profession. I've always really loved getting up and going to work every morning. And this year is the first year that I find myself really experiencing that teacher burnout that people talk about. I ask myself a lot of days how much longer I can do this. And that is not something that I'm used to.
Tell me why. I mean, I know we're in just a wild time right now, but what's making it so hard?
So, you know, we're doing sort of a hybrid instruction model at Lincoln High. So teachers are in person every single day. And then we have our students divided into multiple groups. And so a lot of it is workload that's really, you know, tripled in most respects. I'm also 27 weeks pregnant, and so that has added some added challenges and stress, just worrying. I'm very nervous about getting the virus, and what does that mean for pregnancy? It's exhausting to feel that level of anxiety all day, every day.
Well, hold that thought, Sydney, because it does sound absolutely exhausting. But I want Dan to come in here and, you know, tell me how you're doing, Dan. Is what you're hearing, aside from the pregnancy part of it, I mean, is what you're hearing from Sydney something you can relate with?
Well, in my situation, I'm at a residential school, so our students come in on Sunday evenings and stay with us through the week, and they leave on Friday afternoons. The staff come back and forth, though. We test all of our students before they get on transportation. We test them when they come into the building. We test them in the mornings, and I test them again in the evenings. The staff is tested when we come in the mornings. And that's one way we're dealing with the COVID. As far as being in classroom, we're under Plan B, which we do 6 feet apart, of course. I had to move half my desk out of the room. If you're asking me how I'm doing with it, if we're following the protocols, we seem to be having a pretty successful year so far. And, of course, I'm dealing with students, so they naturally want to be around each other, and they have to keep their mask on, and they have to stay 6 feet apart.
Dan, are you feeling the same kind of burnout as Sydney?
I'm feeling the extra heavier workload, yes. It's harder. And half my students I'm still teaching online, so I'll have a classroom where I have kids on a display. They're at home, but I also have students in the classroom. And so I'm trying to navigate both at the same time.
Yeah, well, as you all both well know, many teachers have retired or quit because they just didn't want to go back into the classroom. I wonder if either of you ever had a moment of reflecting on what you wanted from your future and maybe digging in your heels and saying, no way, I can't go back.
I love what I do every day, and I really consider it a privilege that, you know, I get to work with the kids that I do every single day. I think I teach the best kids in the world. And so that's never really been a question. There's certainly have been fears of, you know, are we making the right decisions as a district? We've had a lot of adjustments to our plan and our protocol, and the effectiveness is sort of still in question, I think, with what we've done. You know, we also have kids. We're trying to space out as best we can, but with class sizes, 6 feet apart isn't really feasible. And even with the like 50% in person each day, we're really, kids are about 4 feet apart at best. We bleach the desks between every period. We, you know, have to give out hand sanitizer at the start of each class. Students and staff all wear masks every day, all day. But even with that, you know, our most recent numbers that the district released, in our district, we've had over 200 student positives. We've had almost 150 staff positives of the virus. We just had what they're saying is the first real confirmed case of school spread.
So do you feel safe?
No.
Sydney, if you don't feel safe, why are you going to work?
Because I love my kids. And, you know, I think that teachers, in a lot of ways, we really sign up for a certain level of risk when we agree to do the job. Of course, I care about their learning and their ability to, like, grow into these, like, awesome citizens that they are and that they continue to become after they leave Lincoln High. And I love being a part of that growth and that journey for them. I can't see myself doing anything else. And I'm also just hopeful that this will end, that there will be a light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, aren't we all? Dan, I want to ask you how the kids are doing. How is their learning going? Like, I was wondering with my own kids, because in the spring, no one really knew what was happening with this pandemic. No one had figured out how to do online learning all that well. And now we're in the fall and things are still not great. And I just wonder, like, how much ground kids might have lost in that time. Have you seen any of that in the kids at your school?
I'm sure Sydney has, and I have as well, noticed this regression from them not physically being into the school. You know, students learn best when they're physically in the school, especially younger students. I deal with middle school and high school students. And there was a lot of regression. We went out in March, and we didn't come back until August. And I'm worried about a lost year for a lot of our kids. You're doing a lot of rebuilding.
Yeah. Well, and Dan, I know you said that you're seeing anxiety and depression in your students. Tell me about that.
I see students who are fearful. Because I teach deaf kids, a lot of my kids are like tuning forks. They can sense that when things aren't right. What I'm sensing is they're dealing with it. They're trying to learn at the same time dealing with emotional issues. And it's making for a difficult learning experience for them, a difficult teaching experience for Sydney and I know.
I can imagine. So, Sydney, I want to leave this last question with you. What do you need from parents, from your students, from administrators that would make your life easier, your classroom safer?
That's a great question, and I don't know if I have a perfect answer for it. I think that the biggest thing that everyone needs right now is grace. I think everybody's having a hard time. Teachers are, parents are, as they're trying to adjust to, you know, child care needs on these days when their students are remote. Our students are highly stressed out, sort of like what Dan said. I think that there's an emotional toll that's being taken by not being able to smile at their classmates. One thing I've noticed is in years past, teachers are sort of always fighting the like crosstalk, you know, kids giggling with the student next to them. And now I crave it. Like, I wish that kids were were crosstalking and having those like funny moments together that interrupt my teaching. I sort of miss that. I think that the biggest thing to remember is that everybody's struggling and everybody's doing the best that they can. We're all under significant pressure. We're all still trying to build the plane while we fly it and figure out ways to reach our students remotely that are going to be effective and engaging, ways to build connections with our students who are in front of us when we can't share a smile with them. And even though we're, 7 months into this pandemic, it's going to be a long haul to figure out how to make school and relationships and connections continue to thrive and function at a high level.
I agree with Sydney, Peter, and Sydney, but I also want to say that I'm an optimist at heart. And I feel that if you're going to have optimism, it's got to be a teacher I mean, we got to show a positive and optimistic face every day to these kids and let them know this is a problem, but we're going to get over it. We're going to get over it together. And we can't just crawl under the hole. We got to teach through our examples of optimism and how to move forward in an appropriate and smart way.
Well, I am glad, Dan, that somebody can be an optimist in this time. Dan Cranford, special education teacher at the Eastern North Carolina School for the Deaf, and Sydney Jensen, ninth grade English teacher at Lincoln High School in Lincoln, Nebraska. I am so thankful for what both of you do every single day. Hang in there. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Peter, and thank you, Sydney, and good luck, Sydney.
Thank you all so much. It was great to talk to you.